Hi there, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody brave enough to live in between those parameters. You're listening to More Than a Whelan. My name is Sean M. Whelan, your host, and I'm joined by...
Moogie. Morgan.
Yeah. Hi there, everybody. Welcome to More Than a Whelan, a podcast about creative writing written by me, but most importantly, inspired by you. Welcome to More Than a Whelan. We are coming at you from Castaway Studios in sunny downtown Collingwood, the greatest suburb in the world. This poem is called These Children of the Disco Ball. In the tree in the yard below my window, the two guys who live in the basement have hung a disco ball. On sunny days, it sprays 1,000 versions of itself all across the yard. And some of these agents of the sun even get as high as my third floor room, and they hide in the corners while I lay on the bed counting the petals on my ceiling rose and pretend to be in love, because all my friends are, and now they seem so much better looking than me because of it. These sun pretenders, these children of the disco ball that flitter across my ceiling, also live in the eyes of my love-struck pup junkie friends. I'd like to write a poem, but I can't find enough trouble in this room. My housemate, also a writer, comes in and hands me a couple of objects to inspire. Write a poem about these, he says, and places on my desk a broken empty CD case, a voucher cut from last night's pizza box, only 9 more to get one free. And my focus shifts past his face to the children of the disco ball still fluttering across my ceiling, so like sugar-rushing children. One of them darts into my housemate's ear. This reminds him that he's in love. He burps a love heart, giggles, and leaves the room. I told a friend on the phone last night that I wish Johnny Cash was always in the seat behind me, pouring advice into my ear like black honey and sending menacing grimaces over my shoulder to those who mean to do me harm. I read a magazine article later reminding me that before he was famous, and sometimes during, he led a pretty fucked up life and was maybe not the best role model. But then the children of the disco ball flittering above my head remind me, just before the clouds appear to take them away, that sometimes unfolding a little box of trouble in your hands can be just like a kiss from that person that everybody told you to never, ever fall in love with. And that was my poem called These Children of the Disco Ball that I found on my computer today and forgotten I'd ever written, actually. I do that all the time. I'm not very good at cataloguing my work. Are you good at that, Rugi?
No, I'm terrible. Terrible.
Welcome to the studio. I'm very, very excited to have you here. So you are a singer-songwriter.
Yep.
You've done so much amazing work. You've worked with Hugo Race and the Brian Jonestown Massacre. We'll talk a bit more about that later. You've got a lot of amazing original material. You were born in Belgium, is
that
correct?
That's right, yep, born in Belgium.
Now, we crossed paths recently when I had you as a special guest on a David Bowie tribute show, which was a magical night. Did you enjoy it?
It was amazing. It was insanely good. A lot of fun.
Yeah, it was incredible. And before then, I hadn't met you, but I had been aware of some of your work. So it was an absolute thrill to have you on that stage, and you killed it. You absolutely killed it.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks.
So when did you arrive in the land of Down Under?
Well, I came here in 2000, but I did. My parents did come here when I was younger, so I arrived when I was 6, and did my primary school years here.
Oh, right, I see.
Yeah, in St Kilda.
Yeah.
and went back to Belgium when I was 11 years old and the rest of my schooling over there, and came back in 2000 by myself, yeah.
What brought your parents here?
Oh, they just always had that dream of going around Australia. I think it's one of those dreams that a lot of people in Europe, French from France or Belgium, just have. Like, it seems like it's a big adventure, you know, going around Australia.
And I guess Australians have the reverse adventure, like
exactly
to go around Europe. Yeah, yep. Yeah. So the grass is always greener, isn't it?
That's what they say.
And then tell me about how you got into this whole music game. Was that something you did from an early age?
Yeah, music's always been part of my life. So I started playing piano when I was 6. And loved it so much. And even when I was really young, I just used to say, I want to be a concert pianist when I grow up. And that
really?
Was it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just been there. I mean, when I came out of high school, I knew all I just wanted to do was play music. And that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
You followed that dream.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To me, it wasn't even like a choice. It just felt like it was just part of what I was, and I had to do it. Yeah.
And when did you first start getting onto a stage and playing to people?
Probably it's when I arrived in Australia. Yeah. Mm. So around 2000, 2001, I started doing some little gigs in clubs, just playing piano and singing some classic kind of songs that people wanted to hear. And started getting bored of doing that. So I went into doing some French covers of songs that probably people didn't know at the time, but... I did that and wrote a lot of songs and then mixed them up, did the originals with the covers, and then just started stripping out the covers as much as possible and just doing all originals.
Yeah, fantastic. And so you work with like psych rock bands, I guess you'd call, Imaginary Friends. And
yep.
How did you come to work with the Brian Jonestown Massacre?
Okay, so I was about 4 years ago, I think, they came over for Melbourne Music Week, and they did a show at the Melbourne Town Hall.
I saw that show. It was insane.
Yeah, it was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So Anton was specifically looking for somebody to sing in French some of the songs that he'd written for an album called Musique de Film Imaginé. And he wanted someone who was also from the French language, not just someone who could just imitate and copy French. So I'd sent some of my tracks through to his manager and to him, and they had a listen and they liked it. And so he invited me over to just sing 2 or 3 songs for Melbourne Music Week. And we all got along and it was great and just stayed in touch. And that's how it all started, yeah.
Now, I'm not telling tales out of school here because it's widely known. Anton's got a little bit of a reputation for being troublesome sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you find him to work with?
I found him great to work with
personally.
He's a great guy. He's an absolute genius. He's fantastic at what he does. I think his reputation has a lot to do with the movie that came out, and you know, that's in the past. And he's changed a lot, I'd say. Like he's just great. It was fantastic going on tour last year. I can't say anything bad about it at all because it all went smoothly. It was fantastic.
He's definitely a genius. He's got a very deep bench of amazing work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And quite, what's that word again when you do a lot of things all the time? I'm blanking.
Workaholic, prolific.
Prolific, yes.
That's true.
Thank you.
He can't stop.
Yes.
He's constantly rolling out those songs. It just, it's amazing.
I should mention we also have in the studio Venom and Steve from Moogie's band.
Hey, guys.
Lurking. So if you hear their voices, that's who they are.
Colour commentary.
Feel free to weigh in anytime.
Right in.
Yeah. He's definitely a genius and definitely amazing to watch because of that element of things could go any direction, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, just an incredible band to watch. I saw them at the Castlemaine Theatre
on I missed that
last
one,
tour.
Yeah, that would have been amazing.
Incredible show. Incredible venue, one of my favourite venues in the state, actually. And they're doing amazing work in that town. Yeah, shout out to the Theatre Royal. So what are you working on at the moment?
Well, I'm writing a whole bunch of songs, and the idea is just to get the album out this year, later in the year, and then organise a tour and go to Europe next year.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about your songwriting process, because that's what we're interested in on this show, about just how things work in the factory of your mind.
Who knows? It's not an organised thing. It just happens. Sometimes I just get songs in my head. Could be melody, could be lyrics, could be whatever, and I'll just go home, sit at the piano and just start playing and get, you know, half the song down or the whole thing down. It just depends. I'll always record it. I'll have my iPhone with me and just record whatever comes out of my brain.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's it.
Yeah. Do you so you come up with the lyrics first or both
generally
ways?
It's funny. Normally what I'll do is I'll sit down at the piano and I'll just start playing something, whatever's in my head. And after playing for a little while, then I'll just sing along, and usually in French. Sometimes it comes out in English, but it's usually in French. And I'll sing along to it, and then something will just catch, and I'll go, this is it. And then I'll run with that phrase or those two phrases that I've come up with, and sit down, write the rest, and then start again. Yeah.
And does it usually come out quite quickly, that process, or
sometimes
labour over it?
Sometimes some of the songs just come out like really quickly, within like, you know, half an hour, that's it, I've got the song. Other times I'm just unsure and I put it aside and then I start playing something else, see what comes out. But I've got them all recorded and I've got some notes written down, and I always have a listen back later and go, that one maybe has something. This one doesn't. I'll check it out. You know,
Yeah.
It just really depends on the song.
Yeah. And these fine gentlemen we have in the studio, are they going to be on your new record?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's very good.
Steve Hadley.
Yeah.
Venom.
Yeah.
Excellent. And John Justin on guitar.
No way.
Yes way. Bless him, he couldn't be here today, unfortunately. He's working on a Grace Jones album.
Blown my mind if I walked in and saw John Justin, because I know John from many, many years ago. Yeah. But I haven't seen him for quite some time. Love that guy.
He's a lovely guy. He really is.
He's been working with Grace Jones for a while now. Last time I saw him was years ago, and I think he'd just done a tour with her
or was
recording something for her album. I can't remember.
That's
right.
So he's working on her last album at the moment too. So
right.
That's what he's at home working on right now.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. John, if you're listening, hello. I miss you.
Hey, John.
That's wonderful news. And where are you going to record the record? You got plans for that yet or haven't got that far?
Don't know yet. We were looking at Hot House, but, you know, I don't plan ahead that far. It's kind of like working spontaneously. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I haven't planned to the end of this sentence yet, so, I don't plan ahead.
I know how that feels.
So maybe we should do some poetry. Now, you've written a poem inspired by some of our listener prompts.
Mm-hmm.
And we were thinking maybe we'll do something a little bit different. I'll read your poem and you could tinkle along to it. Are you into that?
It's like, we could try it. We could definitely try it.
Just improv, yeah? Just live on the edge?
Let's do it.
Why not? Okay, so Moogie, you've been a total legend about this. You asked me about the poetry element of the show, and I explained that I write poems inspired by prompts that my listeners send me. And you said, oh, yeah, I'll give that a go. And I sent you some prompts thinking you might use one or two, and you used all of them, which is amazing. So I'm going to read out the prompts first that inspired this work. How clouds will sit low in a valley at times, the beauty and science of that takes my breath away, Rebecca Claire Page. Beetroot Wee, Emma. Sperm by James Wells. Doris Day, Magda Williams. Toast and Jam, Stephanie Robertson. Shout out to all those fabulous muses. And the blessings of Mother Nature, Stephanie, and the weight on an ant's shoulders, Ag. So I'm going to read this poem that you wrote, and you're going to provide some musical backing for me, I believe.
No problem.
Thank you. Under a sky hidden from sight, light screaming in the darkness, you carry the world upon your shoulders like an ant. And all the sperm in the world couldn't save you from what Mother Nature gave you. Because all that you have left is toast and jam. So keep an eye out for those clouds as they descend into the valley while the birds are singing, Que sera, sera. Yes, whatever will be, will be. And what will be is beetroot wee. And it's so beautiful, it takes my breath away. That was fun. I love that. Crazy. Thank you. Thank you, Miggy Morgan. Thank you to all our listeners for supplying all those hilarious prompts. So now I'm going to read the poem that I wrote this morning. Yeah, I used a couple of prompts that were supplied to me by some listeners yesterday. One of them is Catherine Connolly, and her prompt was simply, I mean, everything is gold this morning. The other prompt I used was supplied by my good mate Ben Mastwick, which is Donkey Dick. So I wrote this morning. It's called Everything is Gold This Morning. Everything is gold this morning. I've only had 5 hours sleep and I can feel the sludgery of my dreams still dripping out of my ears. But the sun is shining upon the lemon tree in the backyard and everything seems kind of hopeful for the day ahead. When life gives you lemons, bite into those sun-drenched motherfuckers and praise this sour hour of power. I'm not exactly happy, but I can imagine what happiness feels like. I see lovers walking by a lake, watching a remote-controlled miniature yacht skirt across the surface of the water. I see a miniature version of myself at the helm of the yacht, wearing an Hawaiian shirt and a captain's hat, and blaring Hall and Oates from a boombox strapped to the mast. We sail by the two lovers holding hands on the edge of the lake, and I wave at them and smile. My yacht is called Donkey Dick. It's in big black letters along the side. This is pretty juvenile, but it's a better name than most yachts receive. I see boring names on yachts all the time, and it pains me to see such missed opportunities. My golden friend and I have a small business that offers only two services, supplying vibe to parties and naming yachts. We haven't had any clients yet, but I'm convinced there's a real gap in the market for this, and I remain optimistic. That's all you can do these days. Remain in pain, insane, in the membrane, contained, ordained to remain hopeful. We had an election and all we got was a big fat lemon with glasses in return. I don't remember ordering that. But the lemons look so exquisitely beautiful hanging off the tree this morning, dripping in sunlight. So you take the sweet and the sour and you suck it up, princess. When I was a child, I saw a diagram in an anatomy textbook of my father's, and it had little signs that said various tastes like sweet and sour and bitter and salty and pungent, and they pointed to various places on the tongue. And for the longest time, I actually thought that the taste of something depended on where it landed on your tongue. And maybe it's true. Maybe we can decide how something tastes depending where we place it in our minds and not the powers that be that shove it down your throat. Maybe we can decide what democracy tastes like. And I reach up to the lemon tree and I pick the biggest one I can find and I place it in my mouth and I take the biggest bite. And on this golden morning, nothing has ever tasted sweeter. And that's that. And thank you to my two muses who supplied those prompts, Catherine Connolly and Ben Mastwick. They are my muses of the week. Bum, ba, 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 ba. Why don't we get you to play some songs for us in the studio? That'd be awesome.
I'd be very happy to do that. Yeah.
What are you going to play for us today? Are these going to be like selections from your new album or like
Well, some of them might end up on the new album. We'll see. Like I said, I don't plan too far ahead.
Ah, okay, yeah.
But they're definitely all original songs. So
excellent. Oh. Well, we'll get you guys to take it away and play a little set for us.
Thank you. This one's called L'Étoile du Nord, which means North Star.
Je suis au bord de l'eau.
This one's called Blanc sur Noir, means white on black. Okay. Next song is called So It Goes. Personal favourite of Steve Hadley's, who's on bass.
Thank you. more than no one knows for sure. And so it goes, c'est la vie, puis c'est la mort, then no one knows for sure. Na 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 na. La lumière ne s'éteint pas, elle brille toujours sur les murs de ton histoire. Le baiser d'un ange gravé dans ta mémoire, doux comme la neige, imprégné au plus profond de ton cœur. Ton âme sœur jamais jusqu'à ton heure. And so it goes, c'est la vie, puis c'est la mort, then no one knows for sure. And so it goes, c'est la vie, puis c'est la mort, then protège à jamais jusqu'à ton heure. And so it goes, c'est la vie, puis c'est la mort, then no one knows for sure. And so it goes, c'est la vie, puis c'est la mort, then
And this one's called Chocolat, a single that was released last year and produced by Hugo Race.
Oh, mon amour, le son de ta voix, c'est comme du chocolat, si tendre et douce, donne-moi ta voix. Sure. chocolat. Oui, l'amour, c'est le chocolat.
All right. Thank you for that wonderful set of music. That was amazing. It was quite a joy to just sit here in the studio and watch it unfurl and
thank
walk
you.
Around while you were playing. It was so good. So good. That's what I love about this podcast is being able to witness things like that. So I'm going to read now it's time for Wheelin' and Stealin'. This is a segment where I and my guests perform a sort of cover piece. In my case, I'm going to do a cover poem for my wonderful Melbourne poet. Her name is Tariro Mavondo. I'm going to have her as a guest on the show in the next couple of months. And she posted this poem on Facebook and I was just really, really taken by it. So I'm going to read it to you now. Today, blue-grey elephants float through the canopy that is sky. Or perhaps they are puffs of smoke that hold the secret life of things. There is an art to holding light and fluff illy. Please, origami, fold your joy into a crane made of paper wings that flies in the face of their fear. Which really is a cause of which hate is only a symptom. When they go low, we the people hold hands. Balloon and helicopter rise above and go higher. If love really is the essence remaining after we've demasked and turned our bodies inside out. So we carried our flesh the other way. So too is love a verb, then to hold light and fluffily. This, in essence, is what it is, to take back power, to steadily move towards tending to the planet and everything in it, ourselves, so we don't lose any more than what we have already lost, which is already too much, like the way hope travels through air and after every war. Perhaps then, this, in essence, is what it is to be sovereign and free. So then, in the meaning of light, can we find the parachute's backpack, humour, commonly known as resilience, aka the rainbow that bends itself at the point where rain kisses sun. Today, a cloud looked like someone's buttocks and legs, and I laughed, that snorting kind of laughter. And despite it all, I felt that line that connects tippy toe to belly button to crown, that makes a whole body feel good. Line, and this tasted like part of the revolution. Sweet, sticky, silly syrup. So that was Tariro Mavondo, wonderful, wonderful poet. You can find lots of examples of her work online. I'll drop some links to that in the show notes. So you've also got a cover for us to perform today.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What are you gonna lay down for us?
We're going to do the Libertango by Grace Jones.
Grace Jones, as we previously mentioned, what an inspired choice. I freaking fucking love this song.
Same.
Yeah. It's got the dreamiest bass line. All her songs, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
yeah. She knows the power of bass, that is for sure. All right, fantastic. I'm really looking forward to this. Take it away.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was freaking brilliant. Loved it. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Now, the show is drawing to a close, but firstly, it's time for the world of Whelan.
Wow.
what's happening in my world? Well, I did mention this last week, but I will mention the game because we need your support. I'm very thrilled that Morna Whelan will be appearing at Indie Podcast in July. And there's a possible fundraising page for that, where basically you're just pre-ordering a ticket anyway, and then you get rewards and stuff. And so I'm going to drop a link to that in the show notes, and please consider supporting that. I'm very excited about that. I'll be announcing who my guest will be for that next week. And tell me what's happening in the world of Moogie Wom.
Oh, where do we start?
I mean, I guess you already have, in that you told me about this upcoming album. What else is on the calendar?
Oh, actually, we do have a gig coming up on the 7th of June at the Post Hotel in St Kilda, corner of Inkerman and St Kilda Road.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, and that I think will, you know, at this point will be like a once a month sort of thing.
Oh, really? That's wonderful news. That's plenty of opportunities for me to see you with the band. I haven't witnessed that yet, but I'd really like to do that. That'd be fantastic.
You should. Yeah. We'd love to see you there.
I'll be there. I'll be there, front and center, yelling out for you to play Wonderwall. No, I won't do that.
Oh, no. Your music's shithouse.
I will. I should tell that story, because something remarkable happened this week. So I DJ. That's another hat I wear at the Workers Club every Monday night. Student night. It's cheap drinks. $2 pots, $4 pints, $8 jugs. And it's bananas. Like, it's packed every single week. Like, there's a line going around the block. Very young crowd, 20 to 25 year old. And look, they're mostly lovely. They get a bit loose. The things I see from the DJ booth are quite extraordinary. I see people get together and break up all in the space of one song. But there's this young gentleman who harasses me quite a lot to play Wonderwall. I'm not opposed to playing Wonderwall. I have played it. But sometimes I would have already played it, and I'll say, no, I've already played that. But he'll still keep harassing me. And he writes it in large text on his phone, holds it above his head, and just stands in front of the DJ booth. So, but then there was an incident where he's sort of harassing me at my car after the thing. That's not so cool.
That's not cool.
So he started harassing me last Monday, and like, I've never done this before. I've never had anyone thrown out just for requesting a song. But he was getting a bit out of hand, so he had to be ejected. And then I returned to my car way after it was shut, and I found this note on my window screen, scrawled on a paper napkin. I'm sorry that I requested Wonderwall, but your music is fucking shit house. I don't appreciate how rude you were to me and the lies you told to security. I've never threatened you and never will. Don't call me a dickhead, please. P.S. Get a real job, you loser. Yeah, definitely the best thing that's ever happened to me as a DJ. And merch is coming. There's going to be T-shirts. Someone told me I should get it made on it as a Duna cover. And I do really like that idea.
That's a really cool idea.
It would look amazing, like on a full Duna cover. And I would get to read before I go to sleep every night, get a real job, you loser. That's a way of keeping myself humble, I think. Yeah, and grounded.
Tell me on your bicep.
So I think that's a wrap, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Unless you have other plans.
I've always got other plans. I've got plans on top of plans on top of plans. But I think that's a wrap for this episode of More Than a Wheel. Thank you so much for joining me.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
It was amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Benham. Hey. Thank you, Steve.
No, thank you
for being absolutely brilliant in the studio today.
Our pleasure.
And the quietest I've ever heard them. Ever. Oh,
really? All right.
Scared of the media.
Well, you don't know how they're going to twist and turn your words.
Scared of the mob.
Thank you, as always, to Castaway Studios and my illustrious producer, Derek Myers. And thank you to Lux Country, our generous supporter. We have merch. Speaking of merch, we have Morning Wheel merch. There'll be a link to that in the show notes. Please consider jumping on there. I've got a little bit of merch for you, actually, Moogie. I've got a little Morning Wheel and Stubby holder for you to take home today.
Ace. Yeah. Thank you.
And, yeah, thank you for listening to More Than a Wheelin'. Wheelin' out.
That awesome podcast was recorded at Castaway Studios in Collingwood. Here, we provide affordable, accessible, professional podcasting production facilities to the full range of podcasters, all the way from basic studio hire right through to full season production packages. You can get us on castawaycollingwood@gmail.com or just look up Castaway Studios on all the social medias.